Welcome to the first annual Young Guns podcast brought to you by FrontStretch.com. From this week on, we're going in a different route as Matt Stolnecht has moved on and Tom Bowles will frequently appear. But for now, I am your host, Dustin Albino. And today, I am joined by Joseph Wolkin and Zach Catanzaretti, both of my colleagues at FrontStretch.com, who are here to break down this week that was at Indianapolis as well as silly season. But first, I want to talk to you guys about DraftKings. As the NASCAR world is in the midst of its summer stretch, there are plenty of opportunities to jump in on the action with DraftKings. On DraftKings, the objective is simple. Pick six drivers, watch how they perform on Sunday, and if you pick correctly, you can be eligible for massive cash prizes. All you have to do is jump in on the action, and to do that is sign up through the Front Stretch Podcast article page, make a $5 deposit, and you'll be eligible for a free entry into this weekend's contest at Pocono. Once again, DraftKings, where you choose, you play, and you win. Now, guys, we had an awesome race this weekend in Indianapolis. Zach, you were there. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your experience.
Holy crap. This might take up the rest of the podcast. It was a tremendous, tremendous day. Tremendous day for the sport and for myself. I did so much writing. But I definitely had a great time. We saw some good racing throughout the entire weekend. There was a lot to look out for from the Xfinity new aero package there. I got to speak to a lot of drivers and get their thoughts before and after the race, and they were really happy with it. I know we saw a good race on Saturday. And then Sunday, just tremendous chaos, and it was a lot to look out for, and definitely gives us a lot of stuff to look out for and to talk about this weekend.
Guys, chaos indeed, Zach. Casey Kane snapping a 102-race winless streak, putting the 5-car back in victory lane, the first Hendrick driver other than Jimmy Johnson to win since Dale Jr. in Phoenix of 2015. Guys, what does this mean for Casey Kane? Pretty big win.
This is gigantic for Casey Kane. I mean, he hasn't had a top five since Talladega in May. That's unbelievable for him. This is absolutely shocking win for him. I mean, he's ran well at Indianapolis in the past, but no one saw that this was coming. And I think this is going to carry him on with contract speculation. He might not return to Hendrick Motorsports. Rick Hendrick was very, very awkward in interviews on Sunday. So I'm curious to see where he lands next year.
And Zach, you were there, so what was your take on the whole Casey Kane development as he went on to win the Brickyard?
Yeah, that post-race press conference was one of the more interesting ones I've ever seen. I just sat there with my knuckles on my chin, just watching, just interested to see what he said. And his emotions were really interesting. He said it himself, this win shows that I still want to win and that I still can win. So for sure, he thinks that this will help him come 2018 and further on beyond that. When it comes to what I feel, I mean, it's really tough because Joe said about his performance, this was his first non-plate top five since Atlanta, race number two. So that's not good at all, especially with the equipment he's in. And that's, unfortunately, that's not just something this season. It's been going on for a few years. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the 102-race winless streak was snapped by Casey Kane. But, guys, this season, as you both have mentioned, not so good for Kane. Outside of Talladega, his first two races of the season resulted in top tens, but since then, only the two top tens at Talladega and Indy. So, is Kane now, is he going to build this on momentum leading into the playoffs?
Well, Dustin, you and I were speaking on Sunday night. We were agreeing to disagree that I thought, hey, you know what? Maybe this is going to be what he needed. But to Dustin's point, Austin Dillon won a race, and look what happened. He hasn't done anything since he won.
Gotten worse.
Yeah, exactly. His performance has suffered, and so has Ryan Newman to an extent. I think the difference here is that Casey Kane is under pressure. He needs to win more. He needs to get deep into the playoffs. And even if he gets knocked out in the first round, it's still something better than nothing for him in this stage of his career, 37.
I mean, but with all this pressure on him to perform, does that save his ride?
I don't think it does. As we said, Rick was a little awkward with that. I know Bob Pockrass was shooting him with the hard questions to begin with. But for him, the mindset is there now. I feel like he has the confidence to go out there and do better, but does it actually happen? Like we said with Joe, like we've had a lot of really cool winners this year, but not a lot of them have really been pushing the gears and been going. So I hope it's different. It's definitely a good storyline, but it's tough to expect after what we've seen.
Well, you know what the main thing is here is that sponsorship is going to determine whether or not Casey Kane is going to stay in this ride. If he does not, he has about 20 races to fill for next year. If he can't get 20 races filled for sponsorship, Rick Henrik's kicking him out, no doubt about it. And there's a couple of potential landing spots. And this win does show that he could stay with a top-tier team, given the funding.
I mean, but when you look at his season, Joe, before Indianapolis, he led 7 laps in the Daytona 500. He led 12 in the Coke Zero 400 at Daytona. And those were the only laps he led prior to Indianapolis.
Let's not forget that he didn't even lead laps last year. He led 0 laps last year. And the year before, 66. It's been a constant decline for him. So even though he's a marketable guy, he's one of the friendliest people in the garage area. Is that something that you guys think will keep him around, is that he's so friendly and so marketable?
I personally think there's definitely some valuable still left in Casey Kane. Mm-hmm. I still think he can get the job done. If you look at the driver's tweets and team owner's tweets from this past weekend, I mean, Tony Stewart said it best. If you just go look at his tweet saying that Casey Kane still can get it done.
And do you think he just needs a new crew chief? That be it?
I honestly think he might need a whole new start. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened with Evernham years ago. After he left Evernham, he was revived at Red Bull, but then when he went to Hendrick.
If you looked at every time that he's changed teams, even with Hendrick at the beginning, 2012, he started off pretty hot. Yeah. And then since then, it's been a decline. So, I mean, it might just be a change that he needs. I don't know what you guys feel.
Yeah, experience might be matching that perfectly when it comes to next season, but we'll see. As I said, he definitely has the correct mindset after a win after almost 3 years.
Now, guys, I don't want to say Kane lucked into this one, but in the second or third stage, beginning of the third stage, the race kind of became wide open when Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch failed to cooperate on a late race restart with, I think, 50 laps to go. What was your take on that, Zach? You were there. Yeah. It seemed like the whole air was taken out of the crowd from that experience.
I was partially airborne in the media center. And then I ran out and went to go get those guys. And yeah, for sure, when you see Kyle, you know, and Martin do that, it's so unexpected because they're two of the best wheelmen in the sport, and they've spent so much time out front. And when he got sideways and he took him out, just all hell broke loose. It was unbelievable.
This is something that you almost saw coming, though, because all race, those two were the best two cars. They were a second faster than everybody else in the first lap almost every restart.
Yeah.
So you kind of almost saw this coming when they decided they weren't going to play fair anymore and just let the outside guy get in.
Yeah, and that's something we see with Indianapolis because it's so much hard racing on those restarts because it's so hard to pass. And that's what he said. He said if he lets them go and he gets a big 2 or 3 second gap, we get to the green flag pit stops, there's no caution, he wins the race. So you had to race and you had to go for it, and that's what we saw, and I like that.
Yeah, well, the thing was on Sunday, you saw that with this deal that Kyle Busch and Truex had throughout the race, Kyle would get the lead and just pull away right away on the restarts, and then Truex was fine with staying second, even though he's won so many stages this year. So it's kind of giving Kyle Busch a chance to not only win stages and get those extra playoff points, but it's also showing that the clean air advantage that these guys had on Sunday until Kyle Busch wrecked out was absolutely outstanding. And it was very clear that Kyle Busch had the best car. And the deal that they had overall ended up leading to that wreck. And Truex just got loose, and it's that simple.
And guys, Kyle Busch has now led 1,040 laps this year and still does not have a victory.
None of them in the last one.
When's this going to end? It seems like any way he can lose a race, he's lost it. I know you've picked him all pretty much all year long.
I picked him like every race this year, and
you gotta change him. Maybe you're the jinx.
Well, I'm not picking. We're gonna find out at the end here. It's not him. But
but then you say that, and he led 100 and something laps here in June. So
guys, it's definitely not a speed issue. It's just it comes down to like Pocono last time out. He had the race won, and then pitch strategy just flopped everything over, and he just couldn't hang on. So it just comes down to luck. It comes down to him making mistakes, the crew making mistakes. It just hasn't happened. He just slipped right through the crack. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, even when he had Ben Bayshore on top of the pit box, he was running so well. But like you say, Zach, it's just those mistakes are adding up. You have a second at Martinsville. You have a second at Charlotte. You have a bunch of top fives here and there, but there is just no wins to show for it, and that's a problem. And with a season that, like we're seeing, where there could be 16 winners easily before the playoffs start, this is a problem for him. What if he doesn't win by after Richmond? He can miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible the way that it's going. But guys, today I think you probably saw, and then this week on Race Hub, you probably saw the confrontation between Adam Stevens and then two of Martin Truex's pit crew. Adam Stevens went to confront the pit crew, and the pit crew basically said, "Get out of here. This is our pit box." Yeah. And then those two pick crew members were penalized today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their lease two furniture row by Joe Gibbs. Is that fair to
Well, I definitely know for myself, I learned kind of more about the inside team mechanics of this team and the fact that they are working for Joe Gibbs Racing, apparently. And if you go to a higher marked person on the team and say what he said, I mean, it was incredibly heated. And I don't know if he knew that, but he definitely knows it now. I was definitely really surprised, Joe.
I wasn't incredibly surprised by the decision. I was definitely taken off guard a little bit, but not a ton. I do think that it's something that needed to be done. When you speak to someone like that, and these guys understand that they are working for Joe Gibbs Racing, they would not be winning so many races and leading so many laps that 78 car unless it wasn't for Joe Gibbs Racing. And they have to be careful of that. But at the same time, you know, competition is competition, and it's going to get to the best of you sometimes.
Yeah, and these guys' names are Kip Wolfmeyer. Kip Wolfmeyer and John Royer. But guys, and like you mentioned, it is technically JGR. They're getting everything from JGR.
Yeah.
The pit crew members, the chassis, everything. But it's the 78 pit box. So, mm-hmm. I mean,
that's like
it's kind
a
of fair game.
That's like a territorial type of thing, I guess, going on. And obviously the 78 has been, as you said, they've been winning all the stages this year. And they've been winning races when the 18 hasn't. So there's some frustration there. And usually the crew chiefs, they're nerds. They usually don't show much emotion.
Quote of the podcast right there. They're nerds.
I mean, they are nerds. Do not tell Mike Neff's Tech Talk people these things.
That's just what everybody's thinking. But, I mean, so, yeah, like him going over and showing that anger. I mean, he said stuff I'm not going to say on here. So he definitely started the frustration. And, yeah, as I said, there's some little thing in race teams where you come into our box. That's our deal. You're coming to us. You're starting everything. So I think we saw how that played out. It wasn't too good.
So, guys, let's move to the Xfinity Series now. William Byron picked up his third win in the past five races in that series. He's kind of taken the series by storm. But then we saw the new rules package where you got the restrictor plate for the first time on a track outside of Daytona and Talladega in the Xfinity Series. And then the big aero ducks. It seems like it led to some good racing, Zach.
Yeah, for sure. The entire day on Friday, I was going around and asking drivers, Elliott Sadler, even Cup guys, Clint Boyd, Denny Hamlin, how closely they're going to be watching this race and if they think it would be a good thing for Cup. And that was before the race. And even after the race, we saw on Twitter how they felt. And especially those aero ducts on the front of the car. It was a pretty simple idea. It's just two holes in the front of the car. But I think it did a really good job of keeping everybody really close together. And, yeah, that the slingshot, you know, could have been done a little bit better. But, man, for a first time out, I mean, they made the Indianapolis Xfinity race one, not only a fun one to watch, but one of the best races of the year.
Yeah, and NASCAR didn't present these air ducts to the teams until they got to the track.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, personally, I was very skeptical going in, but I'm a big fan of this, and I think even the Cup drivers should use it in the future.
Oh, they definitely should. And part of my NASCAR mailbox column this week was discussing whether or not that should be used for next year at Indianapolis. Absolutely, it has to. I mean, it's going in the extensive testing, unlike this package, where they did test it in last October, but they still didn't get the extensive testing that needed, and there were a lot of questions, even during practice. Mm-hmm. Everyone was skeptical whether or not it would work, and fortunately, it did work. It took away Kyle Busch's dominance on Saturday. It didn't give Joey Logano the advantage that everyone thought he had entering the weekend. And it also made qualifying really entertaining, too, I thought.
Speaking of which, Kyle Busch and Eric Jones pitted with 18 laps to go from first and second. Seemed like the new package or whatever led to a lot of tire wear, and even the tire that Goodyear brought.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of weird for a leader that they know can make it on fuel to pit and just kind of give up a victory.
Yeah, it was so weird. I mean, we saw certain things have an advantage that we didn't really expect, and that one, that was really surprising. We saw something similar with Justin Allgaier earlier.
Yeah.
And he completely blew it.
Let's hit on that.
Yeah, he was...
Oh, God, that was bad.
I mean, worse than an Orca start.
I know.
And, I mean, we spoke to him after the race, and he was just pinching the bridge of his nose. He just couldn't believe what he just did. And thankfully, the Jackman was okay, and then the next stop, he blew through it. He ran over the hose, tire was loose. I mean, it was just a complete travesty. So
it doesn't get worse than that. Yeah,
I mean, that was a disaster. Honestly, he was leading when that happened. He came in and pitted as the leader.
That's what hurt, because he had a stage win for sure. Yeah. And it would have set him up great for that. I believe it was the third stage, so we just blew it away. It was such a shame.
He had it locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, guys, as we mentioned, William Byron was the race winner. A lot of speculation in his future. But dating back to Michigan, which was six races ago now, he's got five top three finishes and has been the highest finishing Xfinity Series regular in each of the race. At Loudon, he finished third. However, Ryan Preece, who's not a full-time Xfinity Series driver, finished second. That's why he's the highest in Xfinity Series regular. Guys, this guy seems to just impress me more and more every week.
Yeah, when is he going to make a rookie mistake? When are we going to see the rookie in this kid?
He already got it out.
I guess so. I mean, he was tremendous in trucks. It was a record-breaking season with seven wins. But, I mean, there's just no transition here. It's like the same season. I mean, he's doing incredibly. The entire JRM team has been doing phenomenal. And yeah, like we said, he only has two finishes outside the top 15 all year. I mean, that's remarkable. We don't see that from, we see it from Sadler, but obviously he's been racing since before Byron is even thought of.
Yeah, so, and
before he's born.
Yeah.
And one of those races was Talladega, and obviously you can't really control everything there. Yeah. So this guy is just really, really impressive.
So you guys think he's going to go to the Cup Series next year? I mean, he has Exalta, he has Liberty University, but the thing is, Exalta is with Bowman now.
Yeah, easy. I want to take it easy.
Is he ready?
I think he's going to be ready, yes, by the end of the year going into next year, but I don't know.
Should the team take time like they did with Chase Elliott? I mean, they gave Chase Elliott an extra year in Xfinity, even though he looked like he won a championship in his rookie year.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it looks, with the way the new format is, it's not a shoo-in that he's going to win the championship this year, but I don't know. I feel like he's going to be 20 midway through next year. I don't know.
Is he too young? I mean, this is something like Kyle Larson, I feel like, where he has the sponsorship, obviously. He's going to have the team if he needs it. Does Henrik decide, even though that Matt Kenseth was in the talks for the 88, do you put Matt Kenseth in the 5 for a year and then have a transition for William Byron?
Or does Casey Kane stay? I mean,
yeah, there's so many decisions needed to be made. And Rick Henrik really needs to figure that out sooner rather than later. And he does not seem like he knows what's going to happen.
Which, this is a perfect segue, because let's talk about silly season. Obviously, this week it was announced that Ryan Blaney is going to hop into the number 12 car for a third team Penske machine, while Paul Menard's going to make the jump from Richard Childress Racing to the Wood Brothers. Mm-hmm. Guys, what do we think about this move? Joe, I'll start with you. Just Blaney finally getting into a Penske car.
Yeah, this is so big for Ryan Blaney. I spoke to him a few months ago. He was talking to me about the difference between the Wood Brothers and Team Penske, and how Team Penske is very clean cut. You know, they're always wearing white shirts around the racetrack wherever they go. Even during his interviews yesterday, he was wearing white shirts. But he's not that type of guy usually. As you can see this year, he's more of a throwback type of driver. He has a lot of respect for the history of the sport. And I think you're going to see the next Brad Keselowski, as crazy as that sounds like, because Brad Keselowski is so young himself. But this kid is something special. I've been saying for a long time now that ever since he joined BKR in the Truck Series, he's going to be a championship-winning driver. And obviously, Truck Series, that didn't happen. Xfinity Series, he never ran a full season. But last year in the Cup Series, just earning three top fives for the Wood Brothers was such a big deal for him last year. And I think this year, in their second full-time season, getting that win at Pocono, that is absolutely huge for him. And restarting that third Penske car really means a lot for that organization. And it's a really healthy sign for the sport.
I mean, but the last time they had three cars,
didn't turn out very well.
Didn't. Yeah, I think it was 2010. They had Hornish, and then going back to Stremme and those guys, and it never did went out. Even for Keselowski, it just didn't go well. So I feel like for this time, the time is right. Obviously, Roger Penske, he's a trillionaire. He's very, very smart, and he knows he's been having Blaney. I mean, Penske's been on Blaney's radar for so many years now, and I feel like he waited. He waited. Yeah. He wanted to get him experience. Maybe he wanted to get him to victory lane, work with a smaller team, build them up a little bit. And I feel like the time is right. I think it's going to work out great.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think this could be the best driver lineup any team has right now in the sport next year. I mean,
yeah, it's going to be really strong. Figure Joey Logano gets back on his feet. He's going to be incredibly strong next year. Brad Keselowski picks up pace. And then Ryan Blaney continues what he's doing. Good luck to the rest of the field.
I mean, Logano and Keselowski, they're the two winningest drivers. And it's only a two-car team. I mean, imagine them with a third wheel on there. It could be something remarkable.
Now, guys, the second half of that equation is Paul Menard jumping from RCR to the Wood Brothers. How does this revamp his career? I don't know what to say.
Well, it's a big move for Wood Brothers. They definitely need some sponsorship for that car, and they're getting it with Menards. And for Paul Menard himself, I mean, it's a new place for him. Yeah. He's been with RCR for so long, and just nothing has really happened. He got that one win, but he's always been behind. A lot of times you forget he's even in the race because he just doesn't contend up front. And I feel like with this, we'll see how the performance is. We'll see how much Ryan Blaney is really playing into a part of that, which I feel like is a lot. And I mean, Menard's he's a very talented driver. That's why he's here. That's why he's been able to stay here with his sponsorship. So I feel like it's a win for the Wood Brothers, and it possibly could be a win for Paul Menard.
I'm going to disagree with you there. I think that this is a big downgrade for the Wood Brothers. This is really big downgrade for them. Obviously, you're going to get sponsorship money, which is huge for them. No doubt, it's huge for them. They're still going to have that Team Penske alliance, and even though I don't believe it's going to be as strong, this is going to be like when Paul Menard went from Yates, basically, to Richard Petty Motorsports, is how I see it. He had 6 top 10s in 2010, and that was the start of Paul Menard's rise a little bit, let's call it, and the lack thereof. And ever since, it's been kind of a decrease from there. I think that he won't be too bad. He's not going to struggle as much as he has this year, for sure. I mean, it's hard for him to struggle as much as he has this year. He's finishing around 20th, 25th every week. But for the Wood Brothers, I mean, bringing in more sponsorship outside Motorcraft and Quick Lane is going to be huge for them. That's going to be a key. And if they can use that money and improve their car more than it already has this year, you might be able to see Paul Menard running in the top 15. But I'm a little skeptical about that.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Zach on this one and how it's a restart of his career. And I'm going to slightly disagree with you, Joe, saying it's a downgrade.
It's not the first time.
For sure. But he's going into Penske equipment. I think that's a
big
upgrade.
But how strong is that alliance going to be with Ryan Blaney taking that third Penske car? Now the effort is that Penske's putting at the Wood Brothers is going to be focused on Blaney's ride.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to let them hang in like that.
But then even take this to the IndyCar series and how much Menards does for Penske there. Yeah. I mean, they sponsor Simon Pagenaud. Yeah. So I think this is a big step for Menard.
I could see it helping or hurting him. It really depends. It could either make the Wood Brothers look like geniuses, or it can make them look like, okay, why didn't you put Bubba Wallace in the car? And which is my argument. I feel like that Bubba Wallace compared to Paul Menard would be so much of a wiser option given the team's history and plus Ford's backing of Bubba to begin with.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, who else could have they put in there? Obviously, Bubba, and he finished 11th in the 43 car in his last outing. That would have been a good choice. He's young, he's talented, and he needs a ride.
Yeah.
And he's got that Ford relationship. Could there have been anyone else?
I've always had Sam Haas Jr. on my radar.
Really?
He's back in the 22 for this weekend in Iowa. He's a tremendous driver.
He is.
Like, he was with RPM, and that team's, they obviously struggle
immensely. How many chances can you give him, though?
I know, and it's been a while since he's had a full-time ride. He obviously has so much experience with Penske already in the past, and anytime he's in an Xfinity car, he's just doing tremendous, whether it's with Gibbs, RCR, or Penske. So I feel like after all these years, he has so much more experience than the average young driver, of course, and that's something that Wood Brothers is getting with Menard, and I feel like they would also get that with Horner.
So we kind of hit on this whole Menard and Blaney thing. Guys, a lot of silly season yet still to come.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think is the next move?
Oh, the next move, that's a toughie. I think that Henrik Motorsports needs to figure out what they're doing, and then the rest of the dominoes can fall into play. That's the biggest question mark right now. And if Henrik Motorsports, or even if Matt Kenseth just announces what he's going to do, that's a big step. Dustin, you spoke to Kurt Busch. It sounds like he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Danica Patrick? I mean, that's a major, major question right now.
Seems like she wants to come back from interview she's done earlier this year.
She's getting better.
She's getting better. It seems
she's finishing in the top 15 every week, running near
a
the top 10.
A career best streak now with 3. She's never even had 2 before this. So, yeah, I agree with Joe that it's going to start at the top with Hendrick and Kenseth and SHR, and it's just going to trickle down, and we're going to see where everybody goes.
And let's remember that RCR has a third opening now. Even though rumors said that RCR is going to scale back to 2 cars, Richard Childress clearly said, I want a third car next year still.
I'm going to throw you guys kind of a curveball. Do you think we'll see any strange partnerships?
I don't know. Those would be strange. if they're just completely out of nowhere. I mean, I live for those moments. I love when those come up. So,
for example, GMS has been rumored to move to Cup.
Yeah, that's one.
And they'd probably get Hendrick equipment, and Casey Kane's been rumored to go there. I mean, that's a possibility, but could they bring 2 cars? Could a Spencer Gallagher come up?
Oh, God. Why would... The thing is, would it be worth it for that team, considering that they could barely run in the top 20 in the Xfinity Series? How much money could they possibly... How much more money, rather, could they possibly make in the Cup Series running 30th every week is my question.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, Allegiant Airlines... How strong is that organization in terms of stock? Can they afford it? And what happens if something happens to the airline, you know?
Yeah, I'm hoping that this year is kind of a realization year for them, that this rise up the NASCAR ladder is not that easy. They're kicking tail in trucks, but Xfinity's been a whole other bump in the road.
I mean, going into last week, he was barely ahead of Tyler Reddick in points. Yeah. And Tyler Reddick's only competed in 10 races.
I don't think it would be a smart decision for GMS to go to Cup, honestly. They need another year in Xfinity. They need to give Ben Kennedy a shot also. I think that's going to be a big key.
So you guys are ruling them out going to Cup at all? You guys don't think they should go to Cup?
I don't think they will, but they probably will.
They got a good thing going here. They just got to take their time.
Okay, guys, let's preview this weekend. We're going into Pocono. 2 consecutive first-time winners here. We had Ryan Blaney, as we mentioned earlier, won in the spring. And then last July, Chris Buescher beat the fog. I mean, really. Why does Pocono attract so many first-time winners? And will we see one this weekend?
It's just a tremendously unique track. Like, they say it all the time, but it just brings out a certain drive and certain drivers. And pitch strategy always seems to come up out of nowhere. And obviously the weather with Buescher. We're always looking at the sky every time we go there. So there's just a lot more factors, I feel like, at that track. So it could absolutely happen again this weekend with a just completely brand new driver getting a victory.
And also, the forecast is potential rain all weekend.
Yes.
So
yes.
Well, besides Sunday, Sunday looks okay. Let's not jinx it though.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like that possibly Eric Jones. Eric Jones ran really well in June. He has a lot of potential, and I think this is the type of track where he can show what that second Furniture Row car can do, which is also a key for them, because going back to silly season, that's an open ride for next year, too.
Yeah, I mean, if the car has funding to come back, and obviously 5-Hour Energy can't leave that team while Monster Energy's entitled sponsor of the sport.
Yeah, they might just go to Martin Truex and say, you know what, we're going to sponsor you. You won't have Furniture Row logos on the car anymore. But we're going to sponsor you with 5-Hour Energy and just forget about the second car for now and have a fully sponsored 78 car.
Yeah, I've been thinking the same thing, honestly. Guys, now we're winding down here. Who's your pick this weekend? Who we got going to Victory Lane at Pocono?
I'm going to go through both races here. When it comes to Xfinity in Iowa, okay. I'm picking William Byron. I'm sorry, I'm just out on the limb there. That kid's amazing. So, yeah, Byron's definitely getting the victory. And when it comes to Cup, I'm picking Harvick. So we are going to get another first-time winner, except it's going to be at the track. He's raced there 33 times, finished second in 3 of the last 6 races. A lot of these times he comes right down to the wire with guys for the win, so I feel like Harvick gets it this time.
I'm going to disagree with you, but do agree on a shocker, I know.
Jesus.
But I do agree with you on the sense that it's going to be Stuart Haas guy, and it's going to be Clint Bowyer to Victory Lane on Sunday afternoon.
That'd be so much
fun. 14 car has a history of running well at Pocono Raceway, and I feel like that Clint Bowyer is ready to get into Victory Lane.
You're going to Victory Lane if he wins, though. That's going
to
be fun.
I mean, if you really want me to go Victory Lane,
I
want to see him.
Think about that. What that'll do to the points. I mean, he's outside right now.
Forget it.
Yeah.
I mean,
now Kenseth is screwed.
We've hardly hit on Logano, which we don't have to this podcast, but he's out. We got a crazy spot.
Incredible, man.
It's all because of Ricky Stenhouse Jr. It's all his fault.
Well, all of the first time winners this year, really.
Austin Dillon.
Yeah. So guys, Zach, you mentioned the race at Iowa. I'm going with Brian Scott.
I was just thinking the same thing.
What a comeback story that'll be. If he announced his retirement at the end of last year, comes back halfway through this year, he's going to race at Iowa and then another race, right?
Yeah, I believe it was
one
races,
more.
Right?
Yeah.
Kentucky?
One more race.
The second Kentucky,
Kentucky
race.
In September.
For Richard Childers Racing in the number three car, which a good opportunity for him. He's got some history. He's got some good stats here over the past five races.
Track similar to Richmond. He did so well at Richmond RCR.
Mm-hmm. He's never led a lap there, but the last race there that he competed in was 2015. He finished third, it's potential. And guys, on the Cup side, I think we're going to get a third consecutive first-time winner at Pocono. I think Chase Elliott's going to Victory Lane.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He led 51 laps there in his first ever race there last June.
Most laps, yeah.
I think it's his time to shine. He's got to be the next first-time winner.
Yeah.
He has to be.
We've been saying that for a while, though.
Well, if he's not, how long does Henrik give him?
He's just signed a contract extension, so...
It's a tough one, because how long will Napa stick around at this rate? Napa's contract's up at the end of next year.
True.
If he doesn't win by the end of next year, which I really hope he wins by the end of next year for his own sake, they're going to be in trouble with that contract.
All right, guys, as we head into the weekend, we'll all be at the track. Where can we follow you guys on social media and find out what you're doing this weekend?
So I am on Twitter. I'm Zach Racing on Twitter, and I'm ZCatRacer on Instagram. Follow along. Follow the fun.
I am Joseph NASCAR on Twitter, Joe the Jewy on Snapchat, and NASCAR Joe on the Grom. So add me on everything.
Yeah, I'm at Dustin Albino on Twitter and at Dustin _ Albino on Instagram. And guys, thanks for listening to this first ever inaugural, let me get that out, say that 10 times fast, Young Guns podcast. And this is the way we're going to do it from now on. Going a little different direction, bringing the young faces of Front Stretch.
Well, the young voices.
Yeah, that too. And we hope you enjoy it. So thanks for tagging along.